Numbers chapter 22, we're going to start in verse 1. The children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was sore afraid of the people because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, "Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field." And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, "Behold, there is a people come out from Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now, therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed." And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand, and they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him the words of Balak, and he said unto them, "Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again as the Lord shall speak unto me." And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we're thankful tonight that we can spend time in your word. And as we begin, we ask that you would bless it. We pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The internet is filled with quotes that encourage you to never give up on your dreams, right? On all these like encouraging quotes about your dreams and pursuing your dreams. I've a couple for you tonight. Here's one: follow your dreams, believe in yourself, and don't give up. Follow your dreams, believe in yourself, don't give up. Here's another one: it's never too late to focus on your dreams. Never too late. You know, you can just start now. Here's the third one: dream big and fearlessly pursue your passion. Dream big and fearlessly pursue your passion. Now, I'm all for, you know, pursuing your dreams, right? If your dream is like, I don't know, pottery or something, go for it. You know, get yourself a little, one of those wheels and some clay and a kiln and have at it, you know? And I mean, these things are fine. The only issue I have is the one that says believe in yourself, right? We would cut that part out, right? Follow your dreams and don't give up. But I mean, there's nothing wrong with, you know, having a goal and a dream and following it. Balaam had a dream, right? What was his dream? Wealth, right? His dream was to pursue after money. And all of a sudden you go, well, I don't know if that should have been his dream. In fact, I know it should not have been the dream that he was after. It says in verse 7 that the elders of Moab and Midian, they come to Balaam with the rewards of divination. And you can almost see his eyes light up when he sees these guys come to him and they have this money there. And in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15, it talks about Balaam, and it says that he loved the wages of unrighteousness. That's what the Bible calls this money, the wages of unrighteousness. And Balaam knew this, right? As we go through this story, we're going to see Balaam understood that pursuing this wealth and that his dream of having this money was not right for him. He knew that in order to get this money, he would have to do something God clearly did not want him to do. He knew this money would have to be gotten through disobedience and through sin. He knew it was wrong, but he wanted it anyways. The rewards of divination, the wages of unrighteousness. And boy, you talk about a man who would not give up on his dream. When they came to him and offered him this money, he just didn't quit going after this. And so tonight, I want to see a portrait of greed. I want to see Balaam as a portrait of greed for us. Jude chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward." That's what he did. He ran greedily after this reward. And we're going to talk about greed tonight, but I don't want us to focus solely on like the pursuit of money. I mean, that is part of greed, but the dictionary definition for greed is a selfish and excessive desire for more of something than is needed. Right? It's the pursuit of anything selfishly. And that could be a lot of things. Right? It could be money, and that's probably a big one. It could be the pursuit of a relationship or a possession, a lot of different things. But the idea of greed is that you are prioritizing something that is not right, and you're pursuing after that. Selfishly wanting something that God does not want for you, and pursuing after it. Go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Because this lays out for us a principle that we need to have in place in our life. James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, here's the principle we need to live by. If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That should be what we hold to. That we look at our life and go, well, if this is what the Lord has for me, if this is what God wants for me, then that is what I want. If it's the Lord's will that we should have it, then we go for it. But if the Lord says, I do not want you to have it, then we do not pursue after that. It needs to be in our life that the Lord's will for us is preeminent above anything we might want. Greed isn't necessarily about the object. It's about the fact that we're selfishly seeking something that God does not want us to have. Something that God has said, that is not for you. And yet we say, well, I want it anyways. And we pursue after that. The danger of greed for us is that you might get what you want, but you're not going to want what you get. It's like a little toddler who you see them and there's a cat and they're crawling after the cat and they're wanting to pull the cat's tail. And you tell them, don't pull the cat's tail. You're not going to want to pull the cat's tail. But they keep wanting it. And then the moment you turn their back, they get a hold of that cat. They get a hold of that tail. And then they come crying to you with like scratches. And you're like, well, you got what you wanted, but you didn't really want what you got. That's what greed does, right? We look at it and go, I want this in my life. And the Lord looks at you and says, you don't want that. You're not going to like what you get as you pursue that. Psalm 37 and verse 4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. God knows what you really want. And when you delight in the Lord, he will give you what you want. But pursuing these things that God says are not for us will not get us what we're really looking for. And in Romans chapter 1, if you remember, it was like a passage where Paul's dealing with sinfulness. And twice it says that God gave them up or God gave them over, right? It's like the idea that God let them have what they wanted and they found out that it wasn't exactly what they wanted. It was a punishment that was in that. But God allowed them to have it. And there are times where God says, okay, if that's what you want, then I'll let you have it. And that's your punishment. Your punishment is giving you what you want and allowing you to have that. But greed wants us to selfishly pursue these things that the Lord says, I do not want you to have that. It's the selfish pursuit of something God does not want for us. And so tonight, from Numbers chapter 22, there's three characteristics of greed in Balaam's life. Three characteristics. Here's the first one. In verse 9 through verse 14, it's this characteristic. Greed won't just let you say no. Greed won't let you just say no. Let's read verse 9, where we'll pick up where we left off, down through verse 14. Verse 9. So they come to Balaam and say, we want you to curse Israel. He said, stay here and I'll talk to the Lord about it. Verse 9, God came unto Balaam and said, what men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. Greed won't let you just say no. It always leaves the door open a little bit for with some partial obedience. It won't let us give a straight answer. It won't let us just say no to what we know we should say. Now, I take everything that Balaam says and does with the assumption of a wrong motive, because the Bible has told us what his motive is, that he was pursuing greedily after the wages of unrighteousness, right? So this is This is Balaam's heart. The Lord lays that out for us. There's some people that you can kind of give them the benefit of the doubt because they're like, they've got a good heart. They're trying, right? Trying to do right. And so even though maybe they do a couple things wrong, you give them the benefit of the doubt. There's some people you do that to them and it comes back to bite you, you know, because they just don't have the right motives. That's Balaam. He has this motive of greed and wanting this that they have offered to him. So when God speaks to Balaam, he says, do not go with them. He tells him two things. Verse 12, don't go with them and do not curse the people. When Balaam talks to the princes down in verse 13, he says, the Lord will not let me go with you. He only tells them half. He only gives them half of what God has told him. God shut the door on this whole matter. He says, you're not going with them. You're not cursing Israel. Balaam left the door open a little bit when he was talking to the princes. He said, well, God says, I cannot go with you. He didn't tell them everything, right? He didn't want the buyers to know he wasn't allowed to sell, right? He just didn't tell them everything. And this is what greed does. Instead of just like us knowing it's not right and us shutting it down and saying no to it, greed says, well, let's see if we can find a loophole, right? Or let's try partial obedience and let's see where that gets us. Let's see if we can just live in such a way that the door is kind of open on this dream, right? We don't want to completely close the door on what we're wanting to get. So we try and keep the dream alive a little bit in whatever way we can. But look what it says in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And we're going to read verse 13. Romans chapter 8 and verse 13. If ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Mortify means to put it to death. All right, there's no leaving the door open. Put it to death. Look in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience. Mortify. Put them to death. Don't leave any inch. Don't give sin an inch. Don't give greed any ground in your life. It says mortify. Put those desires to death. As long as we let these desires live in our heart, they're going to keep that door open a little bit. And we're going to take steps that are kind of headed in the right direction, but not entirely. Because greed will always try and keep its foot in the door a little bit. It won't let us just say no and shut it down like God wants it to be shut down. So the first characteristic we see in Balaam's life is that he just doesn't say no. He gives a partial answer and leaves an opportunity for him to continue in the way he wants to go. Look at the second characteristic, starting in verse 15. Second characteristic is this. Greed won't let you just obey. It won't let you just obey. So verse 15, he tells him, I can't go with you. Verse 15, Balak sent yet again princes more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, thus saith Balak the son of Zippor, let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor. And I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye here, ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, if the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, that shalt thou do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon an ass and his two servants were with him. So again, Balak comes back to Balaam. And he says, listen, I'm going to promote you. I'll do whatever you want. I'll give you all that you want. If you'll just come with me. And again, Balaam does the thing where I'm going to ask the Lord and see what the Lord says. This time, though, the Lord says in verse 20, if the men come to call you, rise up and go with them. But yet the word which I shall say unto thee, thou shalt do. So the Lord says, okay, this time I want you to go with them, but you're going to say what I am going to tell you to say. Then in verse 21, Balaam goes with them. But then in verse 22, it says that God's anger was kindled because he went. Right? So it says that the Lord is angry because Balaam went. But we go, wait a minute, the Lord told him in verse 20 to, if the men call thee, rise up and go with them. But I think what happens next answers this this dilemma that we have and why God is angry when Balaam went with them. So he goes with them. They're riding together. Verse 23. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself unto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times? And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me. I would there were a sword in mine hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from thee, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her life. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again. And the angel of the Lord said unto Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And it's interesting what the angel says to Balaam. He tells him, first, in verse 32, he says, thy way is perverse before me. There was something wrong in what Balaam was doing. And I think it's because of what the angel then says in verse 35. He says, go with the men, but only the word that I shall speak unto thee, that thou shalt speak. I believe Balaam went with them with the intention of saying whatever would get him money. Whatever was going to get him paid, that's what he was going to say. He had gotten the Lord to say, okay, you can go. And he went with the intention of earning money, of doing whatever it would take, saying whatever. That's the implication here. God knew Balaam's heart, and God knew that Balaam had taken the instructions that God had given him and kind of picked and chose which part he was going to obey and which part he was going to disobey. And that's not the way God's instructions work. They're not optional. You can't just pick and choose what you're going to obey. How many of you have ever been to the shack, right? I think there's three different ones. But I've only been to the one down in Flanders. And there's a lot of options. I've been there for breakfast. And there's a lot of things like modifications you could make, right? You can get eggs and then you can get, you know, different stuff put in, or like waffles with different toppings on them. Right, there's a lot of adjustments that you can make to some of their things. But if you've been there, you know that there's two dishes that are distinct. It's the kitchen sink and the mess. And on the menu, it says, you cannot change these. Don't ask, right? Don't ask for any substitutions or to take things out of this. You do not change those. That's our attitude toward God's instructions. It's not, you know what? I'll pick what I want, or I'm going to substitute things, or I'm going to give like partial obedience. We just obey. But there's this greed in Balaam's heart that made him look at the instructions of God and not just obey them, not just do what God wanted him to do. But there was part of Balaam's heart that said, well, I'll obey part of it, but then there's this other part that if I disobey it, I can get what I want. And this greed in Balaam's heart made it so he just wouldn't obey God. He just wouldn't do what God told him to do. In Exodus chapter 19, and you don't have to turn there, but in Exodus chapter 19, it's when God calls Moses up onto Mount Sinai, and he brings him up there, and he gives him the Ten Commandments and what Israel is supposed to do. And when he comes back down, it says that all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And in Exodus chapter 24 and verse 3, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. That was their response. Everything God says we are going to do. Do you think God would have accepted a different response than that? Do you think he would have been okay with them saying, most of what you have said we're going to do? Or we'll get back to you on a revision on these commandments. We're probably going to end up with closer to 8. You know what all is said and done. Right, if they had come back with some sort of like partial obedience to his commandments, he would have said, no, that's not how this works. I give commands, you obey them. And yet sometimes that's how we live. And it can be greed in our hearts for something that makes us look at the commandments of God and not just obey. Just say, I'm going to submit to what God says and do it. But it says, why don't we do part of it, and why don't we choose to disobey this? It makes us pick and choose between the commandments of God. And greed finds a way to justify partial obedience. Jeremiah 17 says, our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It is. It's deceitful. It'll trick us into thinking obeying most is good enough. But greed won't just let us obey. And then the story of Balaam continues through chapter 23 and chapter 24. Balaam ends up going with Balak. They build 7 altars and offer 7 oxen and 7 rams on the altars. Balak tells Balaam, all right, go ahead and curse Israel. And Balaam blesses Israel like God tells him to. And they do this 3 times, right, where God just does not allow Balaam to curse his people. So 3 times Balak takes him through this and goes, okay, you blessed him the first time. I'm going to give you a second chance. Balaam blesses him again. Balak says, all right, let's try this a 3rd time. Balaam blesses them one last time. But then look in Numbers chapter 24 with me. Numbers chapter 24 and verse 25. After all of this takes place, Balak gets upset with Balaam and says, we're done. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak also went his way. But now look in Numbers chapter 25. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. And they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods, and the people did eat and bow down to their gods. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And all of a sudden, right at the end of this story with Balaam, we have this account of Israel of committing adultery and beginning to worship the false gods of the people of Moab. And I want us to go to Numbers chapter 31, because a few chapters later, the Lord gives us some clarity on why this took place. Numbers 31 and verse 16. It says, behold, these caused the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of the Lord. And this brings us to the 3rd characteristic of greed, and that is that greed will always find a way. If we let it, greed will always find a way. Balaam couldn't curse Israel, but he found a way to hurt them like Balak wanted. And I wonder what he got from Balak for this counsel. I wonder how much he got paid. The Bible doesn't say, but I wonder what he got out of Balak for this counsel. He couldn't curse them. God wouldn't let him curse him, but he found a way, and that's what greed will always do. If we let it stay and we just give it time, it's going to find a way to keep working itself toward what it wants. It always finds a way. Spring is the time of year when mice seem to come indoors. It was probably about a month ago when school was still in session. I came into my office one day and I had my mug sitting on my desk. And I looked at my mug and I found evidence of mice in my mug. I was like, you gotta be kidding me. So I had to, you know, wash my mug. They say the rule of thumb is that if like a pencil can fit in it, that a mice can get in. I was like, that's crazy how small that is, right? A pencil. Maybe it's one of those bigger pencils, but I think it's the normal size. The mice, they can really cram themselves in. And if they feel like there's warmth inside or food inside, it's like they find a way. You know, there's in a building like this, there's no way we can keep out the mice, keep them from getting. We just try to trap them when they get inside. But where there's one, there's more. But they find a way, don't they? Greed is like that in your life, right? It's if you let it stay, it's going to find a way to get what it wants. And it's constantly trying to push us toward what it wants to get. And we find this all through Scripture, right? We find it in Lot's life. Like here's Lot going through Jericho. Or excuse me, that's Achan. Achan going through Jericho, he finds this, like the garments that are there and the money that's there. And it's just greed in his life where he looks at it and he covets it and he takes it and then he hides it. And this greed that was there in Achan's life, it found a way to come out and it found a way to destroy him. It found a way in David's life when he saw Bathsheba and he had to go through all of this to get what he wanted. In the end, he found out he didn't really want that. And all that took place in David's life, it found a way in Judas's life. He was the one who held the bag. He kept the money for the disciples and they ended up selling Jesus Christ for 30 pieces of silver. It found a way in Ananias and Sapphira's life when there was this offering and they promised and said they gave all, but they kept back part of the price. And it destroyed him. And we find it over and over in Scripture where greed finds a way if we give it time and we let it live in our life. And it'll get us to lie and deceive and to hide things. It's this thing that can dwell in our life. And if we allow it, it's going to keep working. And it's going to keep pushing us. And it's going to find a way. It's amazing how you can tell a kid to go find something they need and they can't find it. It could be out in the middle of the floor, right? They'll be like, I can't find my shoes anywhere. You're like, are you serious? But then you try and hide something from them, something that they want, and they'll find it no matter where you put it. It's amazing how that seems to work, right? You can hide it as best you can and they'll find it. Greed does that. It finds what it wants. And if you give it control in your life and you just let it go and you give it enough time, it's going to keep working in that direction, and greed will always find a way to get what it wants. And we find that in Balaam's life, this portrait of greed. But tonight, we're going to end with this. Go to Psalm 37. Because what's the solution? Right? If we're struggling with this, and we know there's something that we want, we go, I shouldn't want this. Right? It's not right for me to pursue after this. Psalm 37 in verse 4 says this. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Delighting in the Lord regulates our desires, and it gives us the desires that God has for us. I remember hearing one of Erica's cousins talk about how much she loved salad, which was a really foreign thing to me. But it was like she really like just enjoyed a good salad, you know, and I wish I loved salad more. You know, like if I delighted more in salad, I think it would regulate a lot of my other like desires for cookies or donuts or these other things, right? And that's what a desire and a delight in the Lord does for us. If we delight in something that is good, it affects the other desires of our heart. And it's really ironic that greed is an attempt for us to get what we want, but we're not going to get what we want. And that's the danger, is that when we try and get what we want, we're not going to want what we get. And I can tell you tonight what you really want. You want what God wants for you. That's what you really want. And I know your flesh wants other things. But what you really want in your life is for you to get what God wants you to have. Those are the desires that your heart really wants. is those things that God has for you, even though our flesh fights us on that. And you know, this is what Jesus Christ modeled for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Because in Luke chapter 22 and verse 42, Jesus said, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And I am so thankful tonight for the selfishness of Jesus Christ, or the selflessness of Jesus Christ in wanting the will of his Father. That he put the will of God above all else, and he gave his life for us, for our salvation. His selflessness in that. And then Philippians chapter 2 and verse 8 down through verse 11 says that being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The selflessness of Jesus Christ in surrendering to the will of God and in giving himself, God rewarded him for that. He has a name above all else, that the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow. You do not want what your heart tells you that it wants. What your flesh says, hey, let's pursue after this. Let's be greedy and get what we want. You do not want that. You want what God says you want to have and what he wants to give you. But it's only when we delight in the Lord and when we focus our attention on loving God and walking with him that God changes those desires and he puts in our heart the right desires. When we just walk with the Lord and we love him and we focus on him. So tonight, make that your delight. The world wants you to delight in everything else, and your flesh is ready to go along and to build that greed that is there in our hearts. Love God. Delight in the Lord. Make him your focus. The more you get to know him, the more you're going to love him. And the more you love him, the more he will work in your heart to love the things that he loves and to desire the things that he desires for you. Let's close with prayer. Lord, we're thankful tonight for how you work in us. And Lord, we pray you'd help us in the ways that we struggle with greed, desiring things that we should not desire, pursuing things that we should not pursue. We pray you'd help us to simply delight in you, to love you more than anything else, and to follow you. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to delight in you and that you would then give us the desires of our heart. And we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.